From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Chiefs. I'm Seth Kaiser with The Athletic. I'm talking to Ryan Tracy of RGR Infamy, who is rapidly... Ryan, I wanted to talk to you. You've rapidly become much more popular than me utilizing YouTube, and I'm not sure I'm okay with it.
I'm not sure I'm okay with it. We have a face for radio.
I think we really need to talk about how fragile my ego is, Ryan, and how I'm just not sure I'm prepared to handle it. You're really messing with my self-esteem. I just wanted to let you know, but seriously, man, you've been putting out incredible stuff on that channel. That's been awesome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, you're still number one in folks' hearts.
Aw, thanks. You know what? Hey, anyone who's listening to this, when this gets posted, you should comment when this gets posted on like on Twitter or wherever. I would love to see a reply if you're Team Ryan or Team Seth. I think it's time we get a rivalry going, because I know a lot of people give us crap because we never disagree. So maybe that could be like what...
I am tired of your BS. It's time.
Yeah, it's time. All right, fine. Team Seth, I want to hear it. If you are Team Seth, I would love to hear that on Twitter, and especially make sure you tag Ryan and, like, you know, maybe give him a hurtful nickname, whatever.
Chiefs account too, so we can keep tally somehow.
Yes. All right. We're a minute and a half in. Let's talk about football. You're at Chiefs training camp.
I am. I've been here all weekend. As we're recording this, it's a day or two ago from when you're hearing this, folks. And I've been here three practices in a row.
Man, dude, that is awesome. So I want to know everything. I obviously, you know, I was there. We talked about all our stuff. I know I'm hopeful you remember some of the guys I said stood out, and what's popped for you, man?
You know, and honestly, I was going off of some of what you had said, and I'm starting to think there's a conspiracy theory going on here.
Uh-oh.
I have not seen Blake Mack get targeted, but maybe three times in three practices.
Are you serious?
And I'm starting to feel like his reps have fallen off. I think they're trying not to put him on film, particularly after that last game. I'm wondering if he's not going to see a whole lot of snaps in this second game.
Right.
I think they might be trying to like keep him in the shadows and stash him.
I could definitely see that. But you've been able to like kind of watch him run routes and that kind of stuff. Do you kind of see what I'm talking about there?
Yeah, he's got a shake. That plant foot is nice, and he's giving himself not a ton of separation. I mean, to me, he still runs like a smaller tight end,
right?
Rather than a big wide receiver.
Yep.
So he's not, you know, yards and yards of separation, but he's got an edge. I mean, he gets guys on his hip, and I like the way he runs his route. Mm-hmm. He's certainly able to catch the ball. He looks athletic. Just haven't seen quite enough.
Well, and he's super physical when guys try to put their hands on him. He's really comfortable shrugging guys off. And that's something I like a lot. And I noticed that, you know, obviously everyone saw him, you know, son Daniel Sorensen. But, I mean, he does that to a lot of guys. And so that's interesting that his stuff's fallen off. How about, have you creepily looked at Chris Jones to see if I'm right about his figure?
You know, I actually ran into Chris as he was doing some post-practice drills with one of the assistant coaches. And I just happened to be setting up to do a video recap. And he was talking to some of the fans and came over. And, man, he is trim. I thought you were being kind a little bit, but not at all. He looks eagerly athletic. And I think this could be something – in combination with the snaps that I saw him take, he did play some defensive end the last couple of days.
Yep.
Out wide.
Yeah.
In almost a wide nine kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to see how they're going to mix and match his pass rush.
Yeah. With him, he's always had so much physical talent. So it's really cool to see him. It seems like he's putting in the work and he clearly is getting ready for some kind of role. To shift a little bit, to talk about a subject that everyone really doesn't want to – well, people do want to, but kind of the same way you want to talk about, like, you know, that hangnail you got. How's the offensive line looking?
Syphilis. Yeah, not much has changed since what we saw against in the first preseason game. Oh, I will say I was there Sunday when LDT went out, and it looks like he was checked out for they called it a head injury, but he was going through the protocol.
Yep.
We'll have to see what comes of that. But that's a significant blow to this offensive line group. And honestly, they were kind of thin before that.
Yeah, it's tough. It's crazy how quickly along the offensive line you can go from comfortable to wildly uncomfortable. And I don't know, the preseason game, it's got a lot of people very uncomfortable right now. To be fair, we're talking based on like 7 plays.
Yeah.
Maybe 6. I mean, that's a bit, I don't know. It's a bit of an overreaction to me. But at the same time, when you just watch the game, especially the second or third time, you know, it's kind of, because Mahomes, his pocket presence is instantly apparent. When you turn on those games, like you watch him step up, you watch him, he switched the ball from his right hand to his left hand because a guy was coming in to swat it away. I mean, you see him able to move in the pocket, and when he is that affected by pressure, that's bad.
Yeah, and I'd love to tell you that I haven't seen any of that while I was here, but that'd be a lie. And
yeah, I saw that when I was there too.
He's been scrambling a bit, and you have to practice that, so I can't say that it's only not by intention, but some of it has to be in order to get him reps doing that. But man, he's running more than I want to see him run.
Right, right. Yeah, because that's not, I mean, even though Mahomes is a solid athlete, that's not what we want to see out of him. Now, to be fair, and you tell me if it's interesting, as I watched the game, I know Andy Reid said later on they kind of wanted to set up some deep ball stuff. Here's the one thing, though. It's kind of a myth that deep and even intermediate routes, like, you don't necessarily need 4 or 5 seconds for those to develop. It just depends on the route combination. One thing that I noticed is that Mahomes seemed pretty intentional about staying in the pocket and staying within the confines of the play during preseason.
Yeah.
You know,
I completely agree. I mean, his whole thing about being efficient, I think that's probably what it comes back to. And honestly, in a game like that, there's no reason to take any chances. So just stand there and throw it away if you have to. But I agree with you. That's exactly what it looked like to me.
You definitely saw a difference between what he looked like in preseason last year. Because the protection last year was worse than what we saw. I mean, you remember. I mean, that was those tackles. I thought they were legitimately trying to get him killed. And he was running around all over the place with that. So I'm curious. We know Mahomes can succeed with bad pass blocking. We know he can. We watched him do it in college. We watched him do it in limited action in the NFL. Now, obviously, you can't have multiple plays killed like that. But what I am curious about, they really did seem like they were looking to limit things within the confines of the play. And Andy Reid, I don't know if you heard the comment he made about basically, you know, what preseason's for is trying out different looks and seeing what happens.
Oh, yeah. I did a video on that, and I think that's going to be a theme that continues right up until – preseason game 3.
Right, right. And even preseason game 3, I mean, remember week 1 of the offense? I don't recall seeing Kareem Hunt run basically a go route out of the backfield with, you know what I mean, during preseason. I don't recall seeing any of the shovel pass, any of the, you know what I mean? Like, they ran some of their stuff, and you saw it, right? Like, it didn't look like the offense we saw in week 1. And so I'm not in full-bore panic mode, but it'll be interesting to see how it looks in week 2, especially, like you said, with LDT. He's important because he can play. And especially, I mean, he's a good pass protector, but the run game too, that's going to be important. Now, you know me, I'm all like, let's just throw the ball 80% of the time and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, well, I'm telling you, we got to dedicate a full – Team Seth podcast to that. I'm not trying to use the power of suggestion, Team Seth, to get people to think. Right. But we got to talk about that, because I'm telling you, I still think that that's the way to roll, but, you know, that's just me. So offensive line on a scale of 1 to 10 with, you know, 1 being a team made up of the equivalent of, you know, prime Joe Thomas's and Will Shields and – I don't know who the best center of all time would be, but, you know, whoever.
Jay Hogan.
Ooh, nice. You know, that's a 1, with 10 being a team made up of a bunch of McGlynns at every position. My God, that would get someone killed. Anyway, I mean, can you even imagine that? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, where's your concern right now with the offensive line?
Man, I'm in a tough spot here because I would say somewhere in that 5-6 range, right in the middle, because it's so iffy. And I would tell you this, LDT is the nastiest guy on that line, including Eric Fisher. And honestly, it's not that close in my opinion. But when you look at the guys that are in there now, it's all finesse.
Yep.
They don't have a grinder.
Yep.
And that's a problem.
Absolutely. And that's one thing I'm not quite sure about the group that now Mitch Schwartz, he's willing to play physical, but he's a technician and he's an excellent one. Mm-hmm. But LDT is their nastiest guy. Fisher can be pretty nasty in the run game at times, but LDT is all the time. Morse is more of a technician. Now he'll plant someone, but he's not going out of his way to do it. And that might be one area where they do miss Fulton, because Fulton was like that. And so, and again, I think Morse is a fairly far superior player, but you miss something there. So no, that's a little higher than I would have thought. I'm going to stick to like a 3 or a 4 at this point because it's one game. But that is something I'm going to be looking at this week to try to really figure out how big of a problem it really was. Is it really enough to tell us much? Cause you know, one of those pressures, and that was Demetrius Harris. That wasn't even the offensive line. But, you know, we could talk on and on about Demetrius Harris. But I think instead, you know, we're already way over because it's just you and me. We take up so much time agreeing with one another, Team Seth, that, yeah. And we're going to take a quick break. We come back, and I think we're going to shift focus to the other side of the ball for a bit. We'll do that right after this.
Regular season games are right around the corner. This season, don't wait around watching the Chiefs from home when you can be at Arrowhead in the crowd cheering in person. Thanks to Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is offering Locked On Chiefs listeners 10% off their first ticket order when you use our exclusive promo code Locked On. New customers only, and the offer's good through the end of August. And that code again is Locked On. Preseason and regular season tickets are available now. And the Chiefs kick off their home schedule. You can be there for all the excitement. Go to vividseats.com or download the app and enter the promo code Locked On for 10% off your first order. The NFL is back, and Vivid wants you to get into the game.
Now, we're back, and I want to know a couple of things, especially I know you looked at some pass rush, but before we start that, I just want to say hashtag Keep It Ryan. And if you're going to use that hashtag, just use it repeatedly. So, but beyond that, a couple of guys that stood out to me the last couple of days, I know you've taken a good look at, and I just want to elaborate that not only do they both look like they're making progress, but there were some interesting situations where they stacked Tanner Passanio and Breland Speaks together on one side of the line opposite Justin Houston, and we're practicing that 3 pass rusher type formation, and I'm really excited about that, but it all depends on who's doing it, and I know that you took a hard look at Tanner.
Yep. I watched all his snaps from this last game, and that's up on The Athletic if you're interested. I think it's a pretty good read. It's interesting. You see the progress with him, and I was curious what it would look like, but you see a little more variety of moves. It's no longer just basically, pushing and pulling on the offensive lineman if it may be getting by. I saw him execute some rips. I saw him execute an actual push-pull, not just – there's a difference between pushing and pulling on an offensive lineman and executing an actual push-pull move, right?
One's coordinated, one isn't.
Yes, yeah, exactly. One is pass rushing with a plan. The other one's just kind of doing things. He does fall back to the bull rush quite a bit, but he really – he executed – so on the first touchdown – and it was kind of ruined by what I think was poor coverage, and he didn't execute as well as Houston. But he executed a bull rush that he converted into an inside rip that looked exactly like what we've seen Houston do a million times. And that was cool to see. He had a nice, whether you want to call it a stutter or a juke. You guys, you know me. I'm not huge on terminology because it's a waste of everyone's time. But he incorporated that to lay a really nice hit on, I think it was Whedon at that point, to the inside. And that got ruined by, another really quick throw. And so I thought he played pretty well. They didn't run to his side much. He had one play. His recognition against the run still needs work. But as a pass rusher,
Tiberius Kaiser, not big on terminology, huh? All right, that's what.
That was really funny.
Team Ryan, just saying. Yeah, hey, Team Ryan.
Team Ryan, I rendered him speechless. But I think it was interesting watching Passanio. When he what's interesting to me is he doesn't really flash when he's playing against like the threes and the fours, but he plays just as well against the ones as he does against the threes and the fours. Does that make sense? Like,
you know, I know where you're coming from, but does it make sense to me? No, because a lot of times, and I think this is what the discussion about DeMarcus Robinson in particular is, that you see guys dominating against their competition, but you lose track of the fact while you're watching a football game that they're going against twos or threes.
Right.
But like you said, when you see Tyler Passanio, you'll go against all of them. He's productive at every level, and I think that's a good sign, yet it's telling me that he's not able to step up against lower competition.
Yeah, it's weird. I think weird is the only term I can think of. But he's definitely, I mean, all the physical tools are still there, and he looks more polished. His hand placement looks a little better. He definitely looks more comfortable. And I don't know, you could speak to this. When he was at training camp, I kind of watched him go through a few coverage drills. He looks a lot more comfortable standing up than he did last year. I don't think he's ever going to be like this tremendous athlete because he's just such a big dude. But he looks way more comfortable in space. At least he did in this last preseason game. Is that match up with what you're seeing at all?
Yeah, even more so. And as the days go by, I've even noticed an incremental improvement since that game. And it's,
yep.
For me, he is a fairly unique athlete, but it's always been going forward. And I think he's finally getting to the point where he's comfortable enough that he can play in reverse and get towards his potential athletically,
right,
and play in both directions. And beyond that, I think he's doing a very good job emulating some of the things that Justin Houston does very well. He's finally learning that his arm length,
yep,
is probably his best asset. And he's using that pole move that we've seen Justin Houston do for years.
Yes.
He's using that with some good effect.
Yep.
And he's learning to use, despite his height, to get his leverage down.
Yep.
Use his inside shoulder to set the edge and stay square to line of scrimmage in the run game. I think that's a really good sign as well.
There are a lot of good signs there. Now, I kind of had to put a bunch of caveats, though, in the article to say, look, you know, he does have a way to go, though, before he's a guy that I'm going to say, yeah, he's more than an average starter. But the fact that he's come as far as he has already, if they announce tomorrow, hey, we're going to shift Passanio to the first team, I'd be like, that's cool. You know what I mean? Like, I would be comfortable with that. He definitely has that strength and length. Like you said, that arm length, he's just freakish. He's a freakish human being. And he does, I think, learning to be the type of rusher that Houston is. Now, Houston's more of an athlete than Passanio. He's got a little bit more burst to him. Although I think if both of them were running flat out in the open field, I think Passanio is probably faster once he picks it up. But Houston's got
when you just look at long speed,
yeah.
Yes.
Houston's a little more of a silky athlete, though. He's got a little more burst to him, he's a little quicker. But he's a power rusher primarily that can use speed. And I think Passanio would be really wise to continue to imitate him because the physical tools are all there. So I was really encouraged. And you know, you mentioned Speaks. I didn't necessarily rewatch him, but I kind of kept an eye on him while I watched Passanio. There's definitely work to be done there, but he had a couple of good rushes that made me think, okay, maybe.
And I have to say, in one-on-one in team the last couple of days, he has had a much more competitive outing against, in particular, Eric Fisher. And I think that he's learning how to transition off of what his comfort zone is with the power moves, and trying to slip a little bit of a rip in there or come back inside, even if it's just changed direction, not necessarily like a hand combat kind of thing. But he's starting to get it, and I see small changes in his game. I think he's going to get there.
There's a lot of potential there at those two edges. And I think when I see Passanio, this is the first time in years that I've thought to myself, you know, I don't think D Ford should necessarily be uncomfortable, but I don't know if he should be comfortable either.
A mild case of indigestion, I think.
Mild case. Yep. We're not to the, you know, just decided to impulsively order the large chocolate shake at McDonald's after digesting a number two already level of discomfort. He's at the small chocolate shake level. You're not thrilled that you did it, but you know, it's probably worth it. My analogies, Team Seth, are so on point is, you know, this is what people are here for, Ryan. I just want you to know the McDonald's food analogies. I just got done with the family camp and we kept going into town to get McDonald's because, you know, that's what you do when you go camping, apparently. So I've got McDonald's on the brain. But yeah.
All I see is John Travolta in my head.
Oh my goodness, it's terrible. But yeah, Passanio looked solid. Chris Jones still looks really good. And oh, just on a side note, but you know, I know we'll end up running out of time like we normally do. My boy Xavier Williams, now we'll see what ends up happening with the whole injury thing. Like you said, we're recording Sunday, and apparently I give people the kiss of death. But he looks stout. Don't tell me how to live my life, Ryan.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean he is a stout, strong run defender. He is just a tough
and
guy.
Actually, what surprised me, we talked about when he was first signed, how he elaborated on what the coaching staff asked him in the fact that yes, he can play the run well, he can handle double teams, but he is a penetrator by nature, and that he was thought to be continuing that process. And I see that when he is in there, especially when they're in the nickel and they're just two down linemen, you see him getting pushed through gaps. I think you're going to see, and I'm very happy to say this, a bit of a more aggressive front four come this season, because they have to get pass rush in order to protect that back end.
They really do. And that's one thing that, you know, I think some people walked away from the Houston game. The pass rush didn't look great. Although it was just a bunch of 1-2-3 throw plays pretty consistently. Mm-hmm. And so that'll be interesting to see, you know, moving forward how they can do against more than that. Cause there were multiple plays where you had guys almost there. And so we'll see how it goes moving forward. I like Williams. I don't know if I'm seeing as much push as I'd like. As a pass rusher, you know, he's a one trick pony, right? I mean, he's a big, strong dude that's going to shove you backwards, but looks like he can do it. And that's all I care about. However it gets done, because, you know, like we've talked about a ton, the days of having just Chris Jones and Justin Houston getting after the passer, that has to be over. That has to be over if they want to have anything but a mediocre defense.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, it has to be over or they're going to be a sub-500 team.
Well, not when they're scoring 40 a game, Ryan.
Like I said, Team Ryan, we're going to go with that one. Hashtag.
Hashtag.
Let's see, one more second, then we got to talk about a guy that I think you're going to be surprised about. So the guy that stood out to me the most, and it's not the guy that I think everyone is expecting, I think they might change what they do at tight end. And it's... I'm, of course, the one who's wanting a guy that can block. Jason Dunn, I miss you. But I think they're going to go the total opposite direction. I saw on Sunday a play that shocked me. It was run with the second group, and it was that inside shovel pass that usually goes to Travis Kelce. Except this time it went to Alex Ellis, and he scored with it. And he looked good doing it. He showed off some wiggle. A guy that I think has been underestimating his athleticism to this point. Might be a guy that can do some of the things that Travis Kelce does and give them another matchup problem.
Interesting. I did notice him. He had one really nice reception while I was there. I noticed he's got a little bit of athleticism, a little bit of speed. But that's interesting that they would use the shovel with anyone else. Now, you know, maybe, you know, if Kelce were in the game, would they be using him? Probably. But it's good to, you know, have someone else you can rely on to do it. And like what we've talked about, if God forbid something could happen to Kelce, you want someone who can go in and at least do some of the things he can do. Because Demetrius Harris is not a Travis Kelce replacement.
No.
And not just because he's a worse player. Everyone's a worse player than Kelce. But skill set wise, it's just a disaster. They're just not similar players at all. And so that's really encouraging to hear. I'm curious, you know, everyone's down on David Amerson. How does he look to you at camp? I know, you know, he had those penalties. I got to tell you, they were making an example out of him with those two penalties.
Yeah, that was pretty ticky-tack, right?
Well, like to me, I mean, you know, the pass interference one, it was funny because people kind of made a big deal about the hold call, which, I mean, man, that one arm press, I was just like, holding, huh? Really? But whatever. But the pass interference, everyone just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah. And I'm like, did he even touch him? I mean, I thought he did a really good job getting his arm in there and just, You know what I mean? Like, to me, like, that was like, that's pass interference, huh? Okay.
Well, I will say this. In the days that I've seen, he has responded. And I feel like he's – well, first and foremost, in practice, they're playing a lot more tight. He's within arm's reach of the receiver as he lines up pre-snap. So that changes things. But I feel like he's tracking better. He's able to mirror a little bit better. He's still getting passes completed on him, but everyone does. The offense is clearly at this point ahead of the defense in terms of 11-on-11. But he seems to have responded to that in a positive way. And I think he's being driven a little bit. Steven Nelson has been very, very active and very vocal at practice in encouraging teammates. And I think that's a sign as well. And, you know, it's one of these things that the sum of the parts might be better than what you think they're going to add up to. And that's one thing that we have to see from them.
Right. And I know people are freaking out about the secondary right now, too. The secondary was just plain pure practice. Now, I'm not saying they're going to necessarily be better than they were against Houston, but like, you know, the whole, you know, they're lining off and off, man. It's like, yeah, I know they're practicing. They are literally practicing during this game. And so
everything's an experiment until week three.
It really is. Yeah. Week three is the window dressing now. And even then, I mean, I know that, I mean, what was it in 2012? The Chiefs looked great in preseason, including that week three. So you just never know. You really never know. But, oh, that was a horrible year. So, I mean, there's some stuff to take from it. But, like, for me, it's all about individual performance. How do guys look? And the problem for me is I can't, like, you know, Armani Watts got the start, and you know he's one of my guys. But I can't review his snaps because there's no all 22. And I've had people ask me, well, can't you just do what you can? It's like, no, not really. It wouldn't be an honest film review to watch the broadcast and tell you that I'm reviewing a safety. It'd only be a handful of snaps. Now, I don't know. I saw him make a couple plays that I thought were decent. I saw him take a couple angles I thought were poor. So, take from that what you will, I guess. But it'll be interesting.
And honestly, that was my big takeaway as well. I completely agree with you. And the problem is that he looked exactly like he did in college.
Yeah.
Up and down, poor pursuit angles, but yet he made some plays.
Right. And that'll be –
you got to remember he's a week behind.
Right. He is a week behind, and, you know, maybe the Chiefs need one of those high-variance players to create turnovers because Kendall Fuller, you know, I watched him what little I could in the preseason, but, you know, that first pass that got completed and, you know, he immediately tackled the guy and it's a 4-yard gain. But, I mean, those are the types of plays like that's as far as a pass goes, that's a win for the defense. And it was cool watching a defender be breaking on the ball that quickly and be on guys that quickly. So I don't know. Have you, so I know we're running over cause we always do. Two final questions. Have you watched my guy, Kendall Fuller's feet?
I am not able to track his feet as you are because he's just too fast for me.
He is.
But yes, he is smooth in transitions, and that means his feet have to be good.
Yeah, he's really exceptional. And then, so is Tyreek Hill still fast?
You know, the day is long. The sky is blue. there is no question.
Now
in fact, the biggest thing of the day that I saw on Sunday was that Pat overthrew him by about half a step. And the vocal barrage that came out of Tyreek Hill at practice was hilarious and yet very evident about how much he competes at practice. The same time, on the same play, the biggest hush that came over the training camp crowd was because Kendall Fuller was slow getting up from that. It looked like he had done something to his lower leg. He was very ginger walking off that. He came back later practice and was fine, but there was definitely a lot of held breaths.
Yeah, you know, they've started to get into that phase where you're seeing some nicks and that kind of stuff, and that's just tough. Because, I mean, to watch guys go down this early, especially if it's a guy like Fuller, I mean, one final question, then I swear I'll let you go here. So did you see Anthony Hitchens just rock anyone while you were there?
You know, I wish I had. He started practice the first day I was there, did not finish it, and did not practice the second day. Seems like they're being cautious with him, but
super cautious.
I have. Yeah, and for good reason. That's fine. Reggie Ragland took some reps off as well. Definitely not all periods in every practice, but I'm hoping the last day that I'm here that I'll see some more Hitchens because I know that he's been playing hard.
Yeah, he really is just hitting everyone, and it's fun to watch. I think given how they handled Ragland and like some of the quotes, I mean, I don't know if you saw, you know, Nate Taylor, my coworker at the Athletic, you know, he tracked down Veach and got an exclusive interview where Veach said, like almost verbatim, if it were a regular season game on Thursday, he'd be playing with Ragland.
Yeah.
And so I think they are being super cautious with injuries, and I think they should be. I continue to be hopeful that the Justin Houston debacle taught them something.
I certainly hope so, because this team is thin, folks. It's thin at a lot of positions on both sides of the ball. Yeah, the wide receivers are deep.
Yep.
But the O-line's thin. The inside linebackers are thin. The pass rushers are thin. There's the secondary's a big question mark. Injuries will crush this team early.
Yeah. They would be this is not a team that has a ton of positions where they can handle injuries at. I mean, at least that we know of. You never know when you've got some diamond in the rough that's just hanging out. But they, yeah.
Like me, hashtag Ryan.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, so, well, hey, man, I really appreciate it. Why don't you, you're the professional here. Why don't you close this out, my friend?
Man, I like you being the host, though. This is kind of fun for me.
It is, but I'm not professional enough to know how to close out a show.
Well, that's coming along. Slowly but surely, it's going to get there. Folks, we hope you enjoyed this one. We're kind of loose tonight because I'm really tired. But thank you for everyone who came out and saw me at camp. I appreciate that. If I signed your football, I apologize. It lost some value because of that. remember, hashtag Team Ryan, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.